In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This coming Wednesday, at the exhortation of our bishops, it will be a day of penance, fasting, in reparation for the sin of abortion. Many people will descend upon our nation's capital to march in defense of human life, and those of us who are not able to join them physically have an opportunity through our praying, our fasting, the acts of penance and mortification that we undertake to join them in spirit as we make manifest our desire to see the triumph of the culture of life and the eradication of the culture of death. The specter of abortion and its antecedent and foundation, contraception, are sins that indeed cry to heaven. And because of the impact of these particular sins, everyone involved is impacted and affected. No one is not harmed by what it is that continues to happen in our nation, in the easy manner in which we dispatch life, in the manner in which we now live in this world, and all the craziness that we are forced to encounter, is in some ways a direct line from this unmooring of the goods of marriage, the procreative and the unitive act in the context of matrimony, properly understood that all life is indeed sacred to God and should indeed be defended. And no individual man or woman has the right to deprive another of this life, most especially in the womb. All of us, sadly, are impacted by the culture of death. It has eroded our resolve. And oftentimes, the anger and the violence of the act itself has created it an anger and a violence and a hardness in our own hearts, in the manner in which we live our lives, the lack of charity that exists in the world. It may seem to be an oversimplification to talk about a lack of charity in that particular context, but indeed it is true, brothers and sisters, for one cannot breathe in death as we do so easily and so regularly in our nation, and not in some way, shape, or form be impacted by it. To be surrounded by the blood of the innocents, to be surrounded by the selfishness that is involved in contraceptive and the contraceptive mentality, serves to impact all of us negatively and make it difficult for us to live our Catholic lives. And so the exhortation wisely of our bishops to ask us to spend time in penance, to make reparation, is also a reminder of what our Blessed Mother called the seers at Fatima to do and asks of each of us as well. Make reparation for the sins of others. But as we do so, as we do indeed do penance, we also pray through our acts of sacrifice for courageous hearts to witness to the culture of life and to see an end to the culture of death. And our witness has to be real and concrete, brothers and sisters. It cannot be mere lip service or our presence here at Holy Mass or within the confines of those with whom we agree. In our own families, around our own tables, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, all manner of relationships, we know of people who have chosen to walk away not only from the practice of the faith, but from very fundamental beliefs in the dignity and sanctity of human life. Yes, this is a Catholic reality, but in truth, it is a human reality. And if mankind cannot in some way, shape, or form muster up enough courage and strength to support and defend all human life, then in truth and indeed, none of us are ever safe, and there really will never be peace in the world. It is not an easy thing to do so, evidenced by the fact that so many of my own brother priests, and maybe even at times myself, we have been cowed and browbeaten into being silent and quiet about this infanticide and Holocaust that is happening in our world. And even at times, our bishops themselves seem to want to compromise with society and culture, to be thought well of by modern men who have no concern for the church, who have no desire to be converted or to be transformed, and who rejoice each time we as priests and bishops compromise the truths of the faith. Of course, our compromising of the truths of the faith only serves then to spiral out of control and to give others license to do the same. Politicians who profess to be Catholic support all manner of things that are antithetical to the Catholic faith, and no one calls them to any degree of accountability for what they believe, but more importantly, for what it is that they do. And indeed, we all sit silent, and in our silence, sadly become complicit in an ongoing scourge that plagues our nation. Modern man likes to think of himself as enlightened, moving in a positive direction. This is, of course, what modernity has convinced us. But all the while, we have found ways to put to death the most innocent among us. We are no different than any other age past, in some ways maybe even more barbaric, precisely because we have dressed up and sanitized the culture of death in which we live. These are difficult things to preach, they are difficult things to hear, but they need to be said and heard nonetheless. And we will risk something in the process, whether it be family relationships, those who walk away from us and find us altogether too much to take. We might even at times risk our jobs and our professions in order to witness to our Catholic faith and defend the dignity and sanctity of human life. But the things that men can do to us have nothing on what it is that God will reward us with if we can remain steadfast and faith-filled. We were never promised that it would be easy or simple. And in truth, the one we follow himself mounted the throne of the cross in order to bring about glory and the salvation of men. If he had to die in service of truth, then we cannot expect any less for ourselves. But as we listen to our gospel from St. John today, and this manifestation of the first of the miracles of God and his disciples becoming to believe in him, we understand that this sacrifice in which we participate now was anticipated in what it is our Lord did at the wedding feast at Cana. We have before us in this very sacrifice the glory and the majesty and the power of God. And if through the simple sign that the Lord himself made manifest at the wedding feast, they came to believe, how much more should we be believing because Christ is present among us? And then in that faith, we derive the confidence and the strength we need to proclaim and witness to the truth. We are never alone in this. And God in Christ never intended us to be alone in this. We call upon the Lord most especially in times of difficulty, where we might feel that we lack the courage and the resolve to witness to the truth. We ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we might have the right words to speak truth to those who need to hear it. And most especially, we pray for mercy and charity in our own hearts, that as we interact one with another, whatever violence swirls around us, whatever hatred or anger or rancor or bitterness exists around us, we never allow that to permeate our hearts in such a way that we don't become models of God's grace shining through us. There are indeed demons prowling about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And it would seem, given the nature of the world in which we live, that they now have the upper hand. If, however, we believe that, then we have somehow lost our hope in the triumph of the cross. Christ's victory is real and true, as it was in history, as it is now, and as it always will be. And we share in that victory each time we approach him, most especially in this august sacrifice. And as we approach the victorious Lord, we derive from him then the courage and the strength that we need. And so let us be intent and deliberate this coming Wednesday in truly making reparation for this scourge to our nation. Let us be very clear about what it is that we will undertake and be mindful throughout the day, most especially all of the people who will journey for the March of Life, most especially here from the Archdiocese, to pray for them, not only for their safe travel there and their safe return, but that their witness might somehow fall the hardness of heart of so many of our elected officials, especially those who proclaim to be Catholic, but truly are not as they advance the culture of death. Most especially, let us continue to pray for an increase of the virtue of hope in our daily lives, to never give in to despair or doubt or discouragement, for those come from Satan, and they whittle away at our resolve to remain steadfast and follow after our Lord. Instead, let us pray through an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to find our confidence and our strength and in Him alone. For indeed, He has worked great signs and wonders. He does so even now in this sacrifice, does so in the hearts of all men and women who put aside death and embrace life. Let us rejoice, brothers and sisters, and be glad that we have been found worthy to be here with our Lord. Let us go forth through an outpouring of the Spirit and witness to the truth of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.